It's good to be here this day. I don't see those smiles. Okay, that's much better. David's right. I did return not long ago from the Philippines, and while I was there, traveling to one of the missions to preach to, I was thinking on what lies before us. Not the world, but the war that we have between good and evil, right and wrong, what God's word directs, and what distracts. And I was thinking on that, and I was given three words with scripture. And what I want to bring to you this day, simply put, I'm going to talk about a lion, I'm going to talk about a candlestick, and I'm going to talk about strange wives. The lion is our adversary. That which would do us spiritual harm, bodily harm, mental harm. And I thought about the candlestick. And what I was given to know was it's what is at stake in this war that we find ourselves within. And then I thought upon strange wives. Our lives, yours, mine, are weaknesses that would draw us apart. And so, starting with one of the scriptures I was given, I'd like to invite you to turn to 1 Peter. And I'm going to look at the fifth chapter, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And as I thought upon that scripture that came, I thought about all the elders and the members that this speaks to. And in the first two verses, it speaks primarily to the ministry that God has entrusted to spread his word, that he has called forth not by your strength, but according to his will. And we have registered and accepted that calling. Something happened in the Philippines this time that I'm not proud of, but I'm not ashamed of. We lost one teacher a few months back, and we removed two priests and their membership. So we're now at 16 in strength. And I thought about today, how that differs from when Brother Jay and I were there many years ago. And the first time that we had a difficulty with one of the ministry. And I thought about the almost 2 years of emails and phone calls, communications, back and forth before we had gathered enough to bring charges and to sit down and apply sin and forgiveness. And we did that in a hotel room. A little over 2 days worth of labor with the ministry there, and it was a great hassle for them. It took a lot out of them because this was one of their friends, one of their fellow Filipinos. And as Jay and I strove for truth and began to show them how to apply the Word of God to what we were able to look at and to prove to be wrong within this brother's life, one by one, they voted to remove him as an elder. It was a great trial. But this time, I didn't have to do that much. This time, the body of priests there, the ministry, dealt with it. Gordon and I, we were part of the second labor and testified accordingly, but they had identified the first labor, the second labor, and they came back up with a plan that had they backed away from their choices, they could have stayed as members, but they couldn't own it. And so the priesthood voted to remove them as priests and members. It's not something that I take pride in, but they did it the right way. And as Peter talks to the ministry that are before him, the ministry that are before him this day, it takes that continued effort of sorting through what is right, what is wrong, according to the Word of God, and doing it in a manner that is not always easy. I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 13th chapter, and look at verse 25 through 30. Matthew 13, 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? And began to question that calling, what had set them apart. From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. But both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The Lord there is providing they with instruction, and also we too, that there would come a time of harvest, a time that those that were tares would be gathered up. Now, I want you to think about the Church of Christ that we know here in the United States, the upheaval that we have went through, not just COVID, but a spiritual upheaval in the last 2-3 years. Think about the ministry that have declared who they really are and what their end was and what their choices were. A time when they declared themselves apart from what they once believed and a part of another work. So there is a lion abroad. Turn to 2 Nephi chapter 11. 2 Nephi chapter 11 and verse 65. Wherefore, all they that are proud and they that do wickedly, the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, for they shall be as stubble. That happened in the Philippines. That happened and continues to do to some degree here in the United States throughout the work of God. The stubble will be declared. And in 3 Nephi chapter 11, verse 22. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. What separates the pride of man from what the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to? We must fear his name. Another love for that fear is love. Love the Lord Jesus Christ enough to set aside what is in the world and the temptations that would pull us apart from what he teaches. Verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Not the proud, not those that are prideful, but those that love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought about that word exaltation. I thought about what that means in changing the image that makes up you, not of the world, but spiritually within his kingdom. In Cebuano, that exaltation is called pagbaya, and it speaks to the character of the new creature in Christ that is developed within you and I. Turning to Mosiah, chapter 2, in verse 20. Even so I would that you should remember and always retain in remembrance. And these are the words of King Benjamin. Greatness of God and your own nothingness and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling the name of the Lord daily, standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. Behold, I say unto you, that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. In pride, those that harbor that pride within themselves, there's no room for that love of God. They're gradually pulled away into a foreign path. But those that remain, those that pass that test, those that would look to the pagbaya, that building up, that edification of the Spirit, and you shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of Him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And I thought about my growth here within the Church of Christ. David talked about a period of time that I spent as Zion's Advocate editor and had Jim Gordon and he as assistant. Each had their duties that we performed for a time, a little over 10 years, to provide a way to reach out to people in truth, to build up that knowledge of the glory of Him that created us, and to build up that knowledge of that which is just and true. Drawing your minds back to verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 5, it talks about seeking whom he may devour, talking about that lion that comes forth to pull apart. What is it that allows a man, a woman, to be pulled apart? In my short list, I'm sure you could add to it, are the weaknesses that each of us possess. I am not always strong in the Lord, nor are you. We each possess weaknesses that are privy to ourselves, and who knows that weakness? The lion, the devil. We each have doubt from time to time about our role that we play, that we work within the Church of Christ. We question what we're doing here and who puts doubt in our mind. That lion. We look about as the divisions that arise from time to time within the Church of Christ, and divisions are okay if there is a debate to seek truth. But when that division pulls apart and we become one side against another, whose purpose does that serve? That lion. We think about secrets. I've been in this church several decades now. Some of you have been here your whole life, and yet we harbor secrets in our pursuit of a spiritual growth before the Lord Jesus Christ. We set aside what I want you to see and what I truly am. And I speak for myself. I speak for us. Think about greed. Greed is what pulled several of the Filipinos away. Money is a great tool to use in the service of God. But it is also a tool that Satan uses to pull people apart. Everyone needs money. There's always a use for that money. And if we're not careful, that use of money becomes in the world and not of God, not of Christ, not of truth. It's a pursuit for power. When David asked me to preach, I agreed. And I felt the same reluctance I always do. I know my weaknesses. I don't pursue a position of power. I want to speak to you as a friend, as a brother in Christ, as a minister. But I still always have that fear of standing in my strength and not strength of God. But power pulls people away, and ambition. By weakness, doubt, division, secrets, greed, power, ambition, and whatever pops into your mind, the lion seeks to draw us apart. In verse 9, it says, whom we must resist in faith. Whom refers here to that lion. The only strength we have within ourselves is adhering to Christ through our faith. That lion is there to pull us apart. In Cebuano, the lion is spelled L-Y-Y-O-N, lion. So, that's the lion. The next I want to talk about is the candlestick. I'm going to ask that you turn to Revelations. Chapter 2 and verse 5. And these are the words of Christ speaking to several churches, and one in particular. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Repentance is always there. For a church that goes astray, a people, a person, a member, repentance is always that avenue that brings us back to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also speaks about a candlestick. Remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and remember thy first works, or the Lord will remove thy candlestick out of his place. So, where did you and I come from? Well, I came from a beginning that was Baptist for a while, looked at Catholicism for a while, looked at Methodist for a while, and then stumbled upon the Church of Christ. Some of you have known the Church of Christ all your life. But look back even farther than that. Look back to when you were not Christ's child, when you had not yet made that commitment for Christ. Look back to that early beginning from whence you came, the place that you came from. Mine was a decision as a child, to an adolescent, to an adult, and a choice. Yours began being raised up within the church, but there was still a period of time when you had not yet made that choice. Look back to the source of your early beginning of believing. I remember when I looked at the Book of Mormon for the first time, and I prayed about it, and I told God, I'll give it 1 year. I'll either accept it or reject it. It's between you and I. And I would stay up late at night, back when Steve and I were working a full schedule, and I'd be up 2-3 in the morning sometime, reading out of the Book of Mormon. And I would stumble upon something that tied together a truth I had always wondered about. I received a knowledge by pursuing, and you did also. You found that source of truth within Christ ministering to you in small, subtle ways, or it may have come on you as a rush, and you knew it to be true all at once. But there was a place, and there was a source. And remember, what do you seek? From Christ, from God. Where do you want to end up? Success in the world? Or life everlasting? So if these are rekindled within you, you begin to remember the initial freedom and liberty that you felt. I remember when Tony Grinzik baptized, I think, Steve, Pat, and I all at the same time, individually, but at the same gathering. I felt like I could whip the world. And I could at that time. But then, if I allowed that lion back in to pull, to provide doubt, a question, an uncertainty, that strength would ebb. But there was always a way to come back, and there always will be. And we need to rekindle that, to remember the love and the zeal, the need to oppose an error in life, the pursuit of life, and seeking to do good at all times. And repentance is always the way back, to do the first works, to love God with all our heart, might, mind, and strength. Everything that we have. So that candlestick is that assurance that eternal life is there if we adhere and we endure. So there is a lion, there is a candlestick that is there at odds one with the other. We have the who that would draw us away. We have what we value, the candlestick, the pursuit of that eternal life. And the third thing I want to talk about is strange wives. And I'm not talking about females. And I'm not talking about your wife. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 11. I'm going to go over a little bit, and I hope you'll bear with me. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Now, the Church of Christ believes in one husband for one wife, nothing more. And that's what the scriptures bear out. But God, God allowed for a period of time more than one. But God also warned Solomon not to go in for a reason. He had, in verse 3, 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines. I can't imagine the problems dealing one with another in those kind of numbers. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David, his father. Jumping down to verse 6, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David, his father. With all the wisdom that Solomon possessed and the great strength that he occupied during that period of time, he did evil in the sight of the Lord because his heart was not fully with the Lord. He clave to strange wives, women, because of the love he bore for them. To me, it was lust. You put what you want with it, but there was something that he was after, and it wasn't God. Verse 8, and likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their God. He turned away from God. He didn't allow God to have full access to his heart, and vice versa. Verse 8, and likewise did he for all his strange wives. He burnt incense, sacrificed unto their God. Now, turning to the Book of Mormon, in Alma 21, and verses, starting with 117. And they all testified under her, and this was the queen, that the king was slain, that was her husband, by his own servants. And they said also, they have fled. Does not this testify against them? They interjected a truth and a lie at the same time, and she bit. And what this is talking about, a queen, a slain king, a wicked man by the name of Malachiah, and it talks about dissenters, those that had known the right way, those that had been Nephites and had drifted away to the Lamanites, those that had known truth and accepted a lie. And it also talks about the Lamanites themselves and the Nephites, and it talks about Moroni. And I think it's down in verse 121. Now these dissenters, having the same instruction and the same information of the Nephites, yea, having been instructed in the same knowledge of the Lord, nevertheless, it is strange to relate, not long after their dissension, they became more hardened and impenitent, more wild, wicked, and ferocious than the Lamanites, drinking in with the traditions of the Lamanites, giving way to indolence and all matter of lasciviousness, yea, entirely forgetting the Lord their God. The strange wives are those temptations or those things that make you, cause you to give part of your heart, in time, all of your heart, away from God, to pull you away into Satan's grasp, to lose your chance, your opportunity for the eternal life, the candlestick that burns bright within you. Drinking in with the traditions of the Lamanites. Now, in the Philippines, you walk into one of their services, it's going to be very similar to what we do, but not exactly the same. I don't think God determines that they forget all their customs that are traditional, that set them apart, their way of worshiping. Now, if you get somebody that is converted from a Pentecostal church to the Church of Christ in the Philippines, yeah, you keep your eye on them for a while, because they always have that tendency to go back to who they were. But I watched a baptism that took place about 2 days ago in Claro Cortez, a brand new mission. And they were baptizing. And they baptized, I think, 7. And they were having their confirmation. And Brother Degrino Bada, an elder, chairman of the priesthood, was laying hands on to bestow the Holy Ghost, to make them a member of the Church of Christ. And he was praying as all our elders do. And I noticed that the others, some in positions of authority, probably the leader, or that knew the people, they had their hands raised. Now, you might find that objectionable, but what they're doing is petitioning God and His Spirit to descend and through faith to receive that good gift. Nothing wrong with it. But we have to be on guard to sort out what is drawing away back to where they came from, or what is a building up of the work in the Philippines, in the Church of Christ. They're not exactly like us, but they're not different in purpose and objective and teaching. They believe as you do, but they look different. And they worship a little different, but they worship in truth. But Solomon had strange wives. Nogasawa Katindid Han. All that means strange wives, other gods. Because of the wives that he loved and God had warned him against. So think about your life. What do you have in your life that displaces the presence of God that you desire? A close walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. What silences your pursuit of knowledge? What causes you to follow after the works that are in other churches that seem good on the surface? But you have to silence what you believe that is taught in the Church of Christ. You have following after the multitudes that you want to associate with rather than those that have a belief and a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit and the truth and the promise. 3 more thoughts. 1 Nephi 3, verse 26. I, Nephi, was desirous also that I might see and hear and know of these things by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek Him, as well in times of old, as in the time that he should manifest himself unto the children of men. to know things by the power and gift of the Holy Ghost, which does not lie, which is the spirit of truth, which is the reassurance that each of you baptized in the Church of Christ have within you. 1 Nephi 3, verse 27, for he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The way is prepared from the foundation of the world, if it so be that they repent and come unto him. For he that diligently seeketh shall find, and the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto them by the power of the Holy Ghost, as well in this time as in times of old, as well in times of old as in times to come. Wherefore, the course of the Lord is one eternal round. Remember, O man, for all thy doings shall be brought unto judgment. And it drops on down. The Holy Ghost giveth authority that I should speak these things, and deny them not. Finally, 1 Nephi 3:44, and blessed art thou, Nephi, because thou believest in the Son of the Most High. Wherefore, thou shalt behold the things which thou hast desired. What Nephi desired to know because of his faith, he was allowed to see. Your desires are no less. If your faith is that of Nephi, I'm not there yet, but at times I get a partial view, as do you, I'm sure. But the Lord Jesus Christ holds out so much more for us if we listen to him and love him. I'd like about 2 or 3 minutes. Share something with you. Some of you probably know. The great granddaughter of Nicholas Denham, by the name of Emma Buckley, the granddaughter of Dorothy and the daughter of Jenny, she has an eye ailment, both eyes. And it is degenerating. And 3 specialists have told her that she'll lose her eyesight total. I ask that you take an interest in your prayer to remember her at home when you lay down at night, to think about her. Pat was talking to Dorothy on the phone. And one thing Dorothy shared is that, I don't know if it's a conversation that Emma had with her mother, Jenny, or her grandmother, Dorothy, but she was talking about the future. And one thing that just broke my heart is she made a statement, if I get married, I won't even know what he looks like. And I think about a 15-year-old with that kind of future ahead of them. So think about Emma Buckley when you offer prayer this night, and whenever God prompts you to pray for her. I'm sure Dorothy would appreciate it very much, and I thank you very much.